Welcome back to the American Revolution Podcast, Episode 59, Admiral Arnold. So by the end of July, the Royal Savage and the Liberty were both at Crown Point. The Enterprise was being outfitted and would follow as soon as she was completed, as would four gondolas. Arnold is happy with how things are progressing and was planning to head back to Skanesboro. There was a slight delay with how the work was progressing there, and he wanted to get things back on track. Part of the delay, though, was due to the fact that he wanted mortars loaded on two of the gondolas. You see, what we think Arnold's plan was that he most likely wanted to take the fight to the British and was going to use the mortars on the shipyards at St. John. We've talked about this type of usage of mortars on the sea before, when we were talking about Sullivan's Island, if you can remember that far back. And I had mentioned the physical science behind it is a mortar works where it takes all the pressure and it disperses it downward. Now, that type of recoil works great when the mortar is planted into a fortification or in the ground because it's sturdy enough to handle it. But because you're on a ship on the water, that will amplify the downward force. So it's very difficult to have mortars on ships. And when you do, they have to be reinforced to withstand that much pressure. So when the gondola that is supposed to be carrying this mortar arrives at Fort Ticonderoga, a 13-inch mortar was placed on a special platform. Upon test firing the piece, the mortar actually explodes. So, not willing to give up, Arnold orders another mortar placed on the ship in its place. And it meets with the same result. So these are the only two mortars that they had at Fort Ty, so Arnold's hope of a preemptive strike was completely gone. By early August, the torrent of letters from Skanesboro continued. The galley Congress was completed and on its way to Fort Ty, while three other galleys, the Washington, Trumbull, and Lee, were nearing their completion, along with gondolas 7 and 8. Shortage of supplies was an ever-looming problem. And when Arnold returned on August 6th, he ordered that the construction on the gondolas be halted. This way, the supplies that they did have could be used on the galleys. Much of their supply problems, though, came from the fact that the blacksmiths and mill workers just couldn't work fast enough. They only had a finite amount of forges and mills, and they were manned day and night. So the blacksmiths and millers were working just as hard as they can to get the supplies to the shipwrights, who were trying to keep ahead of the craftsmen as best they could. Unfortunately, when we get to the back half of August, we're going to have a new problem. And it won't be with supplies. It will be with disease. Construction in the later weeks in August would slow to a crawl. It wasn't smallpox like they had ravaged the army up in Canada, but a malaria-type fever. So, with so many shipwrights going down, Gates is sending carpenters from Fort Ty and any soldiers with woodworking skills to Skanesboro in hope of keeping production moving, even if it was at a slower pace. As for the fleet, Gates in the first week of August issued orders placing Arnold in command of the fleet at Crown Point. So after trying to work out some of the supply problems and his little foray into a mortar-held gondola, Arnold will head up to Crown Point on August 15th. The fleet there was looking like it was ready for action. At that current time, he had the sloop Enterprise, along with the three schooners, Liberty, Revenge, and Royal Savage. The four gondolas, the New Haven, the Providence, Boston, and the Spitfire. Each gondola would carry three carriage guns along with eight swivel guns and was manned by a crew of 45. Still at Ticonderoga getting rigged and outfitted were the Connecticut and Philadelphia, along with the cutter Lee. So the fleet is really starting to round out. And if they can just get the supply problem nailed down, like we've been talking about for, it seems like several episodes now, they would have a nice little lake navy that would be ready for action, but they're just hampered with all kinds of supply issues. On August 17th, there will be an alarm set out from Crown Point. It was a prearranged signal by the ore makers and their guards that were farther up the lake, letting the fort know that the enemy was near. Colonel Thomas Hartley, who was still in command of the small force at Crown Point, reported the signal to Arnold, who ordered Hartley to take 100 men to cover the ore makers and guards on their retreat, if it proved to be necessary that the enemy was attacking. Meanwhile, Arnold also sent orders to Captain Isaac Simon on the Revenge and Captain Premier on the Liberty to sail about 7 or 8 miles up the lake and report anything they find. The schooners will weigh anchor and set off, firing a swivel gun to signal each other that they were ready to go underway. Now, all of this commotion actually startles Jacobus Wynkoop, who had no idea what the heck was going on. If you guys remember, we talked about Jacobus Wynkoop a little bit last episode. Fearing that the crews were defecting, ordered warning shots to be fired from the swivel guns aboard the Royal Savage. This brought the two ships to an immediate halt. When confronted by Wynkoop, they informed him that General Arnold had issued orders. Wynkoop went into a rage. He was under the assumption, that was, that he was commodore of the fleet and was command of any action that the fleet would take, and had subject to no authority, especially not a brigadier general in the Continental Army. So he had really no problem sending word to Arnold telling him all of this. Well, Arnold fires back that he was a brigadier general and given commander-in-chief of the Lake Champlain fleet. With that clarified, he expected to see the ships moving. When they didn't, Arnold would have to confront Wynkoop in person. Now, knowing how angry Arnold could get, I could just imagine some of the choice words that he had for the so-called Commodore when he actually got face-to-face with him. And he explained to Wynkoop, probably very loudly, that he expected the ships to be moved and had explained to him why he had the authority to do so. With that finally out of the way, Wynkoop issued new orders to the captains, ordering them 8 to 10 miles up the lake instead of the original. Needless to say, this was just a self-serving jab at Arnold. Well, the ships are on the move, and that was important because they might have to cover the retreat of the ore makers and guards that were up the river. Arnold then decided that he needed to sit down with Wynkoop, and they really need to figure out the command issues that they were having. Arnold had several examples from the past where he had issued orders to Wynkoop and they were followed without an issue. And he had his orders from Gates written down, explaining that he would be placed in overall command of the fleet and the forces at Crown Point. So Wynkoop, finally having the reality of what's going on dawning on him, apologized, but stated he was given command of the fleet and was under the assumption that he received his instructions from the commander-in-chief, aka Washington, and if that was not the case, he would resign his command. That night, both men wrote a detailed report of what happened and sent it to Gates. Gates, who is already frustrated with the last month and a half of Wynkoop in command of the fleet, ordered him arrested and sent to Fort Ticonderoga. About a day or so later, Arnold had gotten the orders that Wynkoop was to be sent to Ticonderoga under arrest, but his attitude had softened, and duty-bound to follow Gates' orders, handed Wynkoop the orders and had said, "In compliance of the above order, I do hereby put you in arrest, of which you will take notice and govern yourself accordingly." Now, he didn't clap him in irons. He simply just put him on a boat with a small detachment of soldiers, and sent him to Fort Ticonderoga. With that issue settled, Arnold then sat down and wrote a report to Gates telling him that Wynkoop was ordered back to HQ, but he had not arrested him. In Arnold's opinion, Wynkoop was wrong, but he truly believed that this was a misunderstanding and felt that Wynkoop should just be sent home without any formalities. When Wynkoop arrived, though, Gates still stewing over the whole thing, decides that he's not going to deal with it and sends him to Skylar in Albany. Skylar, busy dealing with other issues, understands and feels that Arnold knows best as to what the situation was, and goes by his recommendation and simply sends him home. When Coop, upon his arrival back home, did write Congress looking for justice, but Congress essentially ignored it. And the following year, when Coop would then be again in charge of a fleet on the lake. So that's the end of Jacobus Wincoop. He will no longer be part of the Battle of Valcour Island. We will have some more time to talk about him when we talk about campaigns in 1777. So now it is sunset on August 24th. The entire fleet was underway. Joining the fleet was the gondolas Connecticut and Philadelphia, along with the cutter Lee. So the order of how the fleet would arrange itself, they were led by the Royal Savage, who was flanked by the Enterprise. Behind that was the gondola New Haven, under the command of Samuel Mansfield, along with the Boston, which was commanded by Captain Sumner. Following those were the Providence and the Spitfire. Then, bringing up the last rank of gondolas was the Philadelphia and the Connecticut, and in the rear of the whole line were the schooners Liberty and Revenge. This was an impressive sight for the Americans. Philip Schuyler himself, in a letter to John Hancock, could only comment that they were so much ahead of the British in naval strength that he felt that they had a very strong chance of defending the lake. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, Gates can do nothing but rave about how well the Navy force is, you know, looking. And with Benedict Arnold in command, well, it just seems like they could be unstoppable. Even Anthony Wayne, a man that will become a very well-known figure as we continue on the podcast, is right now just a colonel. He is in General Thomas's brigade, and it's been on loan from Washington's army since Thomas brought his brigade up to Canada earlier in the year. Though I'm a strong proponent of the power of positivity, the fact was that the British had no idea what they were up against. And unfortunately, it's not going to be too much longer before they find that out. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. The next few episodes are short but sweet, just because of the topic that I'm talking about. You guys know how I'm very against making super long podcasts, and I don't want to bore people too much, because this is a lot of information stuff. We haven't been talking about a lot of action yet. Coming off of things like the Chaining the Hudson, where there was all kinds of stuff going on, or the New York campaign, where it seemed like every other episode we were talking about a major battle. I'm taking this campaign a little slow, and I just don't want to overdo it with numbers and facts and figures, and you know, fry people out by doing too much in one episode. So the next couple episodes, as we continue to see the progression of the American fleet and the building of the British fleet, we're keeping things very light and to the point. I apologize for the late posting of this episode. I had a very busy week. As it gets closer and closer to school time, the schedule just seems to get more and more fast-paced. So I will be posting this episode, and I will be posting another episode Monday, because I'm going to try and record multiple episodes on top of each other. So that will do it for this week. As always, look to the Facebook. If you have any questions, always shoot me a message on there or put a post up on there, anything that you guys might need. And as always, I am always in the need for 5-star ratings and reviews. So if you find yourself on iTunes and you have a free couple of minutes, just put a 5-star up. This way it expands the it gives iTunes the ability to put the podcast out for more and more people as a suggestion. So this way more people can hear and learn about the American Revolution. So till then, everyone have a good weekend, and I will have a new episode on Monday because I'm going to record it actually right after this one. So till then, be safe, and as always, keep the powder dry.